Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all
Hello, welcome to the Dog Talk Show. This is Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150. And happy belated St. Patrick's Day to those of you who celebrate. I'm sure there's a lot of Irish terriers and Irish wolfhounds and Irish setters that are feeling maybe a little sluggish today, but maybe just a small percentage of Boston terriers as well. So I hope you guys had a good St. Patrick's Day yesterday. So today we have on a guest in a little bit who is from the Delta Society, which is actually the headquarters, the national headquarters is located here in Bellevue. And we're going to talk to Joanne Turnbull in a little bit. But before we do that, I've got some things to talk to you about. And I'm just going to tell you, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, or perhaps this is your second or third show, a little bit about myself. Who am I? Just someone on the radio talking about dogs. I am the owner of a company called Sensitive Dog, which is a Seattle-based dog training, behavior, and nutrition consulting. I do anything from basic training to, which is just obedience, you know, sit and down and wait and come here and all that stuff, to evaluating behavior issues like anxiety or aggression. So helping people work through those types of behaviors. And I also do some nutrition and pet food consulting as well, and working with people to find the best type of food that is out there for their pet or for their dog. And it's with the food industry, it's especially tricky because there's so many different types of foods out there, and they all say that they're just really great for your dog and healthy for your dog, and it's oftentimes not the case. So I have been doing this, working with behavior and training and nutrition for specifically or professionally for about 7 years. And I also come from the East Coast. I'm from New England originally. I went to the University of Vermont, and I have a degree in animal science from UVM. And if you want to find out a little bit more about me and what I do, please visit my website, which is www.sensitivedog.com. And my email is Julie, J-U-L-I-E, at sensitivedog.com. So please feel free to get in. You give me an email if you have any questions about anything dog related. I'd love to hear from you. If you'd also love to, if you'd like a sticker, we have these really great Dog Talk Show stickers that are waterproof, weatherproof stickers.
Can I ask a question?
Please do.
Okay. Why Sensitive Dog? Do you have a dog that's just got a real artistic temperament, or?
Well, you know, I looked up the definition of sensitive, mm-hmm. and it was what I liked about the word is using all the senses. So being aware of all aspects of the environment that might be affecting the dog's state of being. So, you know, nutrition and, you know, the emotional state, what the owners are doing.
Well, dogs certainly,
environment.
Dogs certainly do seem to have heightened senses.
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah.
And in some cases, in different ways than we do.
Right.
So, you know, I get to work with a lot of really interesting cases, and I love pack dynamic stuff. So whether that be working with the dog, if it's just one dog and their owners, to the dog, that's their pack. And, you know, dogs are really very highly sociable animals and really rely on pack structure for their sense of well-being. And then I also like to work with multiple dog households. So, you know, 2-3 dogs, sometimes more.
That's a big pack.
Yeah. And then seeing how that, you know, how that kind of works itself out and a lot of times issues come up around that, and it's kind of figuring out, all right, who's doing what, and what does each individual need to kind of align and feel better about things and calm down a little bit in a lot of cases. So it's a very, very interesting field.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a nice balance between human and animal behavior and psychology, because everyone always says, oh, isn't dog training mostly people training? And I would say it's probably at least half, and in some cases more.
Well, if you can get the owner to fetch the ball, then I guess you're halfway there.
Yeah. So it's, the way that I work with dogs too, a lot of what I do is teaching people how to really communicate with their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk about obedience training, it's not just, barking a command at your dog and waving a treat in front of their face and kind of getting them to do this reflexive action that actually gets the dog, like, for instance, to sit, but it's then they're really just working for the treat if you're just waving, if that's how far you get in the training. So I certainly use treats as positive reinforcement. But I teach people how to work with their dogs in a way that actually develops a working relationship so that the dogs are working for the people, not for the food. And it's so much more successful, so much more rewarding, and so important when you're using training to help work with behavioral stuff and pack dynamic stuff, because you have to be able to communicate to educate. So
wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. And I learned so, the dogs teach me so much, and I just love, they're so individual. So I, with every new dog I meet and with every new dog person relationship that I get to know, it just really deepens my knowledge and understanding of the presence of the species in this society. So it's great.
Very good.
Yeah, I've learned a lot, and I still have so much to learn, and it just makes for a really fulfilling career. So, and now with this new show, I get to spend an hour and talk to people about dog-related topics and educate people in areas that maybe they weren't, and have fun.
Canine conversation. That's what
right.
It's all about.
Yep. So, and I get to give away prizes. So we have a gift certificate available right now for Urban Beast, which is right across from REI, downtown Seattle. Give us a call. I don't care what your reason is for calling in. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer your question. Or if you just want to call in and...
Or if you have a question for our guest.
If you have a question for our guest, yep, you can hang on the line with Delta Society. Or if you want to participate in the Best in Show trivia, we can ask you a trivia question. Or if you just want to call in and say hi and tell us what kind of dog you have, I will give you a gift certificate.
You give a bark out to your dog.
That's right. To Urban Beast is the gift certificate right across from REI. It's a really cool store, lots of really great food and toys and collars and leashes. So the number to call right now is 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527. You can also call toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So give us a call right now. I've got stuff to give away. I'm just trying to give stuff away. So 425-373-5527. We'll take the first caller, and for whatever reason you're calling in, we'll give you a gift certificate to Urban Beast. So how about that, huh? Easy money. So I have some really actually excellent news. First, I have a little announcement to make. I met a young woman who, for her senior project I met her at the Seattle Dog Show a couple weekends ago, Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show, and her senior project is, senior in high school, is called a Furry Friend Fundraiser. And I talked with her for a few minutes about her project and told her that I would talk about it on my show. And if you are able to make it to this, then that's great. She's doing really great work, and it's great to see young people getting involved. It's raising money. The goal of the project is to raise money for the Everett Animal Shelter, which has taken on a huge burden with this puppy mill raids that have happened recently. And so she's raising money for the shelter. All the proceeds go to the shelter. And she's also raising awareness about the abusive reality of puppy mills. She's going to have guest speakers, and the event is dog friendly. And it is Saturday, April 4th, from 1 to 4 p.m. at Meadowdale Elementary School in Linwood, Washington. And I don't have the address, but if you Google Meadowdale Elementary, it'll show up, the one in Linwood, Washington. It's Saturday, April 4th from 1 to 4 p.m. If you'd like more information about that, or if you'd like to help out with this, with her project, you can send me an email and I can put you in touch with her. My email again is julie@sensitivedog.com. So we have Nancy from Woodinville on line one, who is going to tell us about her dog, and we're going to mail her a gift certificate to Urban Beast. Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
You are on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, you bet.
Is this your first show that you've heard?
It is.
Okay. And how did you hear about us?
I listen to the radio, but not normally at this time of day.
Uh-huh.
So today's the first time I tuned in at this time.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the Dog Talk Show.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we are a new endeavor. This is our fifth show. So.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's probably why I haven't heard you before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of, do you have a dog?
I do. I have a little Labradoodle.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, while I was waiting to come on the show, a question came up, and she's an only dog.
Uh-huh.
And she's 10 months old. And I'm just wondering, is it important for her to maybe have a playmate? I noticed that she, you know, I take her to work with me, and she, I think, could probably use some, you know, exercise that I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I do go running with her in the morning. But I feel that's maybe not enough.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good question. I've found, and I think, you know, especially as a 10-month-old dog, still quite young.
Mm-hmm.
So she's an adolescent now.
Yeah.
Adolescence is between 6 months and 2 years. That's
mm-hmm.
the window.
Okay.
And having dogs to interact with that they know,
okay.
more so than just taking her to a dog park,
okay.
where she's going to meet new dogs every time.
Mm-hmm.
If you have friends or family who have dogs that you could maybe, you know, have play dates,
mm-hmm.
or get together on a weekend, or taking her to like a, if this is a good fit for her, like a doggy daycare.
Okay.
Where she'll have some regular interaction.
Okay.
Dogs being social creatures, they develop relationships. So the best kind of dog interaction is actually with dogs that are kind of like an extended pack.
Okay.
As opposed to, like I said, going to a place where she's just going to be flooded with all these dogs that she's never met before. It's
right.
not necessarily a natural thing for dogs to just kind of, you know, well, automatically friends with everybody. So, but it's good. You know, they learn social skills that, you know, they kind of learn how to be a dog.
Mm-hmm.
They learn, bite inhibition and how to control their jaws through play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, I imagine that, you know, I try to put myself in their shoes
mm-hmm.
without putting, you know, too many human traits on them.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine I would want some human friends if I lived in a world of dogs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, socialization is great. And ideally, if they're dogs that she can sort of regularly hang out with and develop a relationship with, then that's ideal.
And I've got a second question that just came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I do have two small children, and they do play with her, you know, when they get home from school and all.
Mm-hmm.
And they play, you know, chase. But she, you know, she'll bite, not, you know, super hard, but enough to, and I know it's probably puppy biting.
Yeah.
But how can they still play with her without her doing the biting?
Put something in her mouth.
Okay. Yeah, we do that sometimes.
Play with her with something in her mouth.
Okay.
A lot of times, how old are your children?
5 and 9.
Okay. So a lot of times, you know, with a young dog like her, she's going to respond to the high energy of children,
mm-hmm.
and they'll just kind of wind each other up. So if they're, you know, wee, running around, let's play chase, that's going to get her amped up.
Right.
And how that's often expressed is with their mouth.
Especially
with a dog that's, you know, part retriever. She has a very strong oral. You know, to a sort of need to put her mouth on stuff, but that's also just kind of a puppy thing in general.
Okay.
So it's a good idea to play with her with a toy.
Okay.
Practice having her drop it.
Okay.
So that she, you know, practice having her sit sort of in the midst of playing, or maybe, you know, this is something that you can work with them with, having them sit. Having the dog sit while she's playing so that she has to kind of stop and then think.
Oh, okay.
So that it kind of helps to ground her a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But don't, with the kids, it's not so much of a problem, but don't ever catch yourself chasing her around.
Okay.
Because it's sort of hurting your leadership with her.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and if you have further questions, you can get in touch with me over email. julie@sensitivedog.com.
Oh, great.
And then, you know, I can work with you further if you want.
Okay, wonderful.
But thanks so much for calling in. I hope you can tune in again.
Yeah, definitely.
And did Deb get your mailing address? No?
No, not yet.
Okay, so we're going to, I'm going to send you back to Deb and she's going to get your mailing address and I will mail you that gift certificate.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back with the Dog Talk Show.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beast features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never-frozen regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays from noon to 1 p.m. We take your calls and ask your animal companions the things you most want to know from them. Talk about anything, even talk with deceased animals. If you love your animals and want to hear the wonderful and very often surprising things animals say, be sure to listen to Talk With Your Animals Wednesdays at noon, the show both you and your pets are going to love. Talk With Your Animals with me, Joy Turner.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And today, our guest is Joanne Turnbull with the Delta Society. Welcome to the show, Joanne.
Oh, thank you, Julie. We're so excited to be part of your show today.
Good. So I'm excited to talk to you and to give listeners also an opportunity to call in and ask you questions as well about the wonderful work that you do at the Delta Society, or I should say through the Delta Society. So why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about what the Delta Society is all about?
Okay, wonderful. Well, Delta Society is a nonprofit organization, and our sole focus is on looking at how animals improve people's health and happiness, whether it be animals in your household, service animals that help people with disabilities live richer lives and more independent lives, or therapy animal programs where people can actually volunteer with their own dog to take them to visit people in hospitals or nursing homes or mm-hmm. help kids to read and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we are all about three core initiatives, and one of the first is to advance knowledge, to let people know that there are many research studies that have been done that show that having animals in your life can reduce your blood pressure, reduce stress and anxiety levels, and release endorphins that make you feel good, and many other things, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we also look at working and empowering individuals with disabilities to find service dogs that can help them live more independent lives, and we have a referral service for that,
mm-hmm.
as well as our pet therapy program, which is called Pet Partners.
Mm-hmm. And there's, I was on your website, which is www.deltasociety.org, and was looking at the under the resources category at some studies that have been done, research studies that have been done around how in measurable ways the presence of an animal helps humans, helps children, helps families, etc. And I know that it's been, as far as measuring levels, you know, blood levels and that kind of thing, animals reduce blood pressure, increase immune function. I think I've heard, not necessarily through your website, but have heard over the years how people who stutter don't stutter when they talk to animals, and helping with confidence, like you said, with kids with reading. And it's just amazing the therapeutic values, both actually chemically and just emotionally, that they provide to us. And and you are a national organization, right?
That's right. We're actually international.
Okay.
So, and we are headquartered right here in Bellevue.
Uh-huh. That's great. And you have been around for 31 years.
Right. We were founded in 1977, right here in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And it all got started because there was a veterinarian and a psychologist who had gotten together and had realized in their own private practices that their human clients were benefiting from interactions with their pets.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a theory that having pets in our lives really could help us, but there really wasn't any research around. So mm-hmm. what they decided to do was to start the organization to fund some of the first credible research that was conducted on the subject.
Mm-hmm. So what the organization started out doing was really getting that research going to check this out further and more formally.
Absolutely, and that's been a foundation for our whole organization, is mm-hmm. that scientific research that's been done to show the impact that animals have on our lives.
Mm.
And we now have the other programs, and one of our largest is called Pet Partners, which mm-hmm. is a therapy animal program. And, you know, people take their dogs to visit the people in hospitals, and if a nurse is nearby or if a nurse is actually the pet partner, they oftentimes will see the monitors, you know, hooked up to the patient, start to go to healthier levels within minutes of mm-hmm. having the animal come in and visit them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just so great. I did, I was telling you the other day when we were talking about how I did some volunteer work when I was in college at the University of Vermont with a group really just called Pets Helping People. And we used to go to the Greyhound Rescue of Vermont that had X-racing greyhounds, and we would take the dogs with suitable temperaments around to area nursing homes and visit with the residents there. And it was with the people who were open to interacting, it just was immediately opened them up, and you know, they would immediately lighten up and start talking to us about their dogs that they had in the past. And you could just, I could almost feel how it felt for them when they put their hands on the dog, you know, just how beneficial that was for them. And you were saying about how you know, differences in reactions of people and how some people open up more versus others. And there's a statistic that you told me about nursing home residents and visitors. And we were talking about how...
We've, you know, talked with many different nursing homes or assisted living centers, and we have found that many have said that, unfortunately, over 50% of their residents may never get visited by a relative or a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so this work becomes even more important when somebody will volunteer and bring their pet in to visit a resident.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times these people who don't get visitors, they are moved into this new community, and they kind of shut down, and they don't want to talk, and they don't want to engage. They've become lonely or depressed, and they're unwilling to talk with other people. But then when a pet partner team may walk in, and they are asked if they'd like to visit with the dog, just as you had mentioned, all of a sudden the energy in the room changes,
mm-hmm.
and the person may start petting the dog, and then the next thing that will happen is they may start talking to the dog, telling them about their own memories of their own pet,
mm-hmm.
and then that affords the opportunity for the handler to start talking to the resident.
Mm-hmm.
And so the animal almost serves the bridge of human communication,
mm-hmm.
and kind of unlocks that gate. So then that resident will then feel more comfortable to talk to other residents and staff and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard many stories of when a pet partner team will go in and visit with somebody, they come out of the room and said, oh, that was a nice visit, didn't know anything special happened, and the staff will come by and said, you know, that's the first time that person has talked since they've moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have been there as long as 4 or 6 weeks.
So it
really is miraculous. But that, you know, how energy change and how just that having that comfort of the animal right there can change the dynamics of a room, not only just for a moment, but, you know, for many, many days or weeks to come.
Mm-hmm. And, it's just such a bridge to connect the two people, you know, having the animal there. And then, like you said, the person may start talking to the animal or may start talking to the person about the animal or about their pets that they had in the past. And
right.
And then, you know, kind of them having the opportunity to connect with their own memories about their pets that they loved in their life, and that must be nice for them too.
Right. I had talked with a hospice care worker,
mm-hmm.
who they had a person under their care, and she had been with them for 6 weeks, and another situation where she would not open up to the staff. And the hospice workers who had been trained, you know, how to do this and try to help this person just couldn't find anything that would work. And one day, a pet partner team was there visiting another patient, and she was asked if she'd go visit. And within 15 minutes, the woman started talking, and that again became the way then opened up the door for the hospice care workers to mm-hmm. start, you know, talking with this person about what she was dealing with and the fears that she had and whatnot. And she was actually able to work through her issues within 2 weeks and go back home.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's a lot of professionals are really finding the importance of having therapy animal teams come in to help them out,
mm-hmm.
so they can get the confidence and help improve their patients' lives.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Such powerful work, and it's such a great thing that people can do with their own pets. So we're going to take a break and come right back and ask you some more questions. We have Joanne Turnbull with the Delta Society. We'll be right back. This is the Dog Talk Show. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a 2-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
March 23rd on Conversations Live, Giving Peace a Deadline. Is world peace possible in 5 years? And Toxic Truth, a scientist, a doctor, and the battle over lead.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North. Directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beasts features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. This is Julie Forbes, and I am the owner of Sensitive Dog and am a dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. And today we're talking with Joanne Turnbull with the Delta Society. Welcome back, Joanne.
Thank you.
So we were talking about dogs visiting in nursing homes and how what a positive impact that has on the residents, and how you've seen it and have heard of stories of really that being the thing that has opened people up for the first time after, in some cases, several weeks of not really speaking and just kind of shutting down. I've had some people, some clients talk to me about their own animals, if they've had a loss in the family or have had hospice workers in the home, that has been really, sort of hard on the dogs. And, you know, this is a bit of a different situation because that would be within their pack. And so they're also having to ultimately, you know, grieve the loss of a pack member. But what is the, I imagine that, the dogs are so sensitive to the environment. If they're in sort of emotionally stressful or intense situations, there must be things to do with the dogs afterwards to kind of help them shake it off, so to speak, and kind of even out after that, or release some of that tension that they might take on.
Yes, and you brought up a very good point, Julie. One of the aspects of our program is it's very key to us that not only the handler wants to do this type of the work, but that we can also see the dog enjoys this type of work, and that the handler is in tune with their dog, their animal partner, so that the dog doesn't get overstressed. And part of the program we require is that the handler does complete some training, mm-hmm. and that is where we teach them things such as stress in control for their dog and how to make this a safe interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things we recommend and actually pretty much require is that when a person goes on a therapy animal visit and they're taking their dog to visit people, to keep that session to less than 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And in many people, if they are doing very high emotional type of visits, they will only go and visit for an hour or less.
Mm-hmm.
Because the animals will pick up on that emotion, and it's hard on them.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you may have a very exuberant dog who runs around in the field and is high energy, they become a different animal. They're picking up that emotion,
mm-hmm.
and it's tiring for them. So
yeah.
First of all, we do, keep the visits short,
mm-hmm.
1 to 2 hours a day. And the other thing that we find out is the majority of our pet partners, they will put a vest on the dog so the dog knows when he or she is working.
Mm-hmm.
And that will, and the dog will instinctively know, okay, when the vest is on, I'm working, I change my behavior, I'm a little bit more calmer, I'm in work mode.
Yep.
And then as soon as they leave the building, being able to take that vest off, they know playtime.
Right.
And people, each dog is different, just as every person is different. Some will want to go to the park and run around. Others will want to go home and lay down and de-stress for a while.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good sign, too, just that physical, having the vest on or not, is an indicator to the dog of when I'm working and when I'm not.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So they kind of have a little bit of a structure there.
Absolutely.
If anybody wants to call in and ask Joanne a question related to the work that the Delta Society does, please feel free to call the station anytime now, 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527. I've had a lot of people, as I've worked with just, training and behavior, who have expressed interest in doing that kind of work. Oh, I would love to take my dog to, nursing homes or to hospitals. And it's actually impressive how much, consistently over the years I've had people express that and would really love to do that. And then it's kind of like, well, okay, now what? Now what do I, what do I have to do that? Is it, I think a lot of people feel like it's this, very involved, long process. And can you tell us a little bit about how people might go about getting their dog, either doing it through the Delta Society or just, getting their dog equipped, getting themselves and their dogs equipped to do that?
Sure. One of the most important things to know is that a dog, does not have to be trained from puppyhood to be able to do this type of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's their type of demeanor that's the most important, that they like to be around people and they're comfortable in different environments. They also need to have basic obedience skills. But what we do to help people become registered with our group is we do have training for the human part of the team. Mm-hmm. And in that process, you can do an in-person workshop or you can study the manual at home. And it's going to talk about things like infection control procedures, how to work with different types of populations, how to recognize stress signals in your animals, mm-hmm. as well as people that you may encounter, how to work effectively with staff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different elements like that. And people are normally surprised when they go to a workshop how much new information they learn and how valuable doing things such as role play mm-hmm. really helps them understand what this type of volunteer work is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And then after doing that, then we evaluate both the handler and the animal as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a 22-part evaluation,
mm-hmm.
and we're looking at the handler and animal as a team. So it's not just an evaluation of the dog, but it's an evaluation of how the person is working with their animal as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, Julie, I saw on your website you talked about having respect from the dog to the owner, but then it's also important to have respect from the owner to the dog.
Yes.
And that's exactly what our evaluation is. We find that the richness and the special bond that a person has with their dog mm-hmm. is what really is going to make their work as a pet partner team that much stronger and that much more effective, and that their dog will really be enjoying this work and the person knows when it's right for their animal as well as for themselves to do this work.
Yeah.
We also do require a health screening from their own veterinarian for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they complete those steps, the person can register with us and we can help them find a place to visit, or we can help them open up a new place to visit with a therapy animal program.
Mm-hmm. And when you say, first of all, I really like the word team, and that's just, an understanding of the animal and the human really working together and accomplishing the task, and that it's not, one using the other, that mm-hmm. it really is bringing both presences together to do the work that you do. And that's just a really good word, I think, that, to really view it as a team and as the human to be responsible for the well-being of the dog and, you know, just looking for cues as far as where they're at with it, too. When you say infection control procedures, that makes sense to me because that's a question that I've had as far as, you know, taking a dog into a hospital to visit with people whose immune systems are compromised or, you know, nursing homes for the same reasons. What sorts of things do you do to help help with that?
We do require that within 24 hours of a visit that your dog is bathed and groomed, the nails are cut, teeth are cleaned, things like that. So that's the grooming beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also teach about importance of using hand sanitizer. For instance, if you're going to be visiting multiple people,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we don't want to be spreading germs from one person to another via the dog's fur or whatnot. So
mm-hmm.
asking the patients or the people you're visiting to use hand sanitizer before and after, both for their own safety and others.
Mm-hmm.
And we also teach things such as, for instance, if you may be visiting in a hospital, and if that hospital allows the dogs to go up on the patient's bed, one of the ways we help control or keep things sanitized is we bring extra bed sheets that are supplied from the hospital,
mm-hmm.
put that on the bed, and then put the dog on top of that extra bed sheet and then take that away later.
Mm, okay.
So there's all sorts of different, you know, tips and tricks like that that we help to teach.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So I would love, we're going to take a break and run some commercials. And then when we come back, I would love to hear some stories from you about different specific examples of
wonderful.
Yeah. So
favorite things to do. Yes. Tell stories.
So we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never-frozen, regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, Fridays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150. Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun, Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beasts features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
There's nothing else like it on the dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening on Alternative Talk 1150, and we have Joanne Turnbull with us today from the Delta Society. Welcome back, Joanne.
Thank you.
So I think we're in agreement on this as far as this being one of our favorite parts of a conversation about therapy dogs and the pet partnership. So tell us some stories about some of the experiences people have had working with their dogs.
Well, we do have lots and lots of stories, and you're absolutely right. It's one of my favorite parts of the job, hearing these inspirational stories. I think one of them that comes to mind is there's a group who works at radiation at a hospital where radiation occurs for chemotherapy or for cancer patients, mm-hmm. and they particularly work with pediatric patients mm-hmm. who have to come for 6 weeks of radiation treatment 5 days a week at 7 a.m. So what they have done is they have gotten a group together of pet partners, and every day of the week in the parking lot at 7 a.m., someone is there to greet the family and the child when they come for their radiation treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And they meet them at the car, walk them into the hospital, and walk them down to the room. And the children actually, you know, enjoy this visit and this time because they're going to go see the doggies.
Mm-hmm.
And they know which doggie is going to be there which day of the week, and they feel special because they get to walk the doggie down back to the radiation room, whereas the adults that are there aren't allowed to do that, don't get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it a time that should, you know, that normally would be a very bad experience, turn into a very positive experience where the children are actually looking forward mm-hmm. to going to this particular visit, doctor mm-hmm. visit.
And what great timing to have it be right at the beginning, you know, where they're starting off their day rather than thinking about the radiation and how, and, you know, the hardships of that.
Exactly. And I think the children aren't allowed to eat or what, so they, you know, start them off, always have early morning appointments to help them. But mm-hmm. it's an, you know, it helps. And the families have said, you know, trying to get a child out of bed who's not feeling well, when it helps when they know that a dog's going to be there. And they can say, oh, you know, Ellie's going to be there to greet you today. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, I'll get up, I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
We even had one child, I heard, that changed his appointment, negotiated to change an appointment with a doctor later on because the dog wouldn't be there at that time.
Oh, how cute. Oh, that's
and great. Then the other thing that's important for people to know, too, is it's not just the patients that are benefiting from the pet partner visits.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it may be the family members or staff.
Mm-hmm.
I had one person who recently told me that they had been visiting in a hospital, and they were in the elevator, and then the doors opened, and a doctor came in, and he looked at the dog and said, do you mind if, you know, I hug him? And the woman, of course, said, no, of course not. That's why we're here. And so the doctor just went and grabbed a hold of this big black lab and gave him a big old bear hug and just kind of gave a big sigh. And they got four floors further down, and the doors opened, and the doctor looked over and said, thank you so much. I really needed that. I just lost the patient. I lost the patient on the table.
Mm.
And that was his stress relief, to be able to just go and hug that dog for, you know, even if it was a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It really helped him.
Ugh.
So amazing things. We've had another story from a person who was also happened to be also visiting in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they knocked on the door and said, is it okay if we come in? And the family members who were visiting said yes. And the dog kind of lifted his head in the air, did a couple of sniffs, and then started heading over to the visiting family members.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, who was the human part of the team, thought, this is kind of strange. My dog never does that. We always go straight to the bed. But he learned to follow the lead of his dog. And so they went over and visited the human, or the family members. And the woman started petting the dog, whose name is Jake, and just said, oh, Daddy would have loved to have met you. And that's when Joe had learned that the patient had just died a minute or two before.
Mm.
And somehow his dog had sensed that the patient had died, and it was the family members that were needing that therapy that at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So remarkable how the instincts or how our animal friends really can understand what is going on and who needs their attention.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give the phone number again for people to call in if anyone has a story to share or a question for Joanne. We have a few minutes left. I'm going to give the number before I'm a total puddle on the floor. 425-373-5527. 425-373-5527.
Now, like we tell the dogs that come in here, Julie, no puddling on the floor.
That's right. No, sorry.
Julie, could I also add that I'd like to let your listeners know that we do have an informational session.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, on the first Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8 p.m., we have a one-hour informational session which provides a quick overview of Delta Society, as well as we have a couple Pet Partners teams who are here to share their stories and experiences, and we provide an overview, a more in-depth overview of how you can learn to volunteer with your own dog.
Mm-hmm.
Or we also register people with cats and rabbits and mini horses and many different other kinds of species as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone's interested in coming, they can go on our website at deltasociety.org and email me.
Okay, great. And that's the first Tuesday of every month.
It's the first Tuesday of every month. And then we also are happy to do speaking engagements, too. So if somebody has a group of eight or more people and they'd like us to come to their group meeting, we'd be happy to do that, too. So
that's great. And that's no charge, right?
It's no charge.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so for people, that's a great way for people to get started and for people to get more information. And then also sort of a general guideline for people would be to get some just basic obedience training.
Right.
And then you can, you know, they can move forward with the evaluation process to see, you know, if the dogs seem to be, you know, to go through that, the rest of that process that you have in place.
Exactly. We're finding a lot of people kind of like to come to that information session. It gives them a better feeling for, is this going to be right for them or their dog?
Mm-hmm.
Or if they don't have the right animal to be to partner with at this time, there's other ways to volunteer as well, too, and, mm-hmm. and help this, what we are doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, Joanne, thank you so much for being on the Dog Talk Show today.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me.
Yes, it's just such so great to hear about the wonderful things that people are doing today in the presence of all of the negative media that's happening, that there's just so much good that is going on every day and specifically involving dogs, which is just wonderful. And I'm sure you have just, you know, endless amounts of stories like the ones that you told that are just really touching, you know, making such a difference for people in really stressful environments, whether it be in a hospital or nursing home or that type of thing. So,
or reading programs as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, helping kids learn to read, or we're starting to work with some court systems, too, to help people kind of de-stress before, or for victims to kind of de-stress before they have to go and testify or do a deposition.
Wow, that's
great. Many different applications.
Yeah.
That use this. These teams.
Well, that's great. If for more information, go to the Delta Society website, which is www.deltasociety.org. And I will look forward to being in touch with you soon, I hope, Joanne.
Wonderful.
Great. Thanks so much for being
Thank
on
you,
the show.
Julie.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. Well, that was Joanne Turnbull with the Delta Society. And you're listening to the Dog Talk Show. And we just got to talk to her about the wonderful work that they do there, using dogs and other pets to really help people in all sorts of different types of situations, hospitals, nursing homes, helping kids learn how to read and stuff like that. So it's just such good work. And you can do that, too. If you think you have a dog that has the temperament that would like to visit with people, it is a very attainable thing. So get in touch and pursue that and see if that's a good fit for you. I have some actually exciting news as well that we'll wrap up with. When I had on Dan Paul with the Humane Society talking about puppy mills at on our first show, which was over a month ago, there was a store that he talked about called Petland that was a large store that sells puppies. And it looks like from an article from yesterday that there is actually a class action lawsuit that's been filed against Petland Inc. and the Hunt Corporation saying that they are conspiring to sell unhealthy puppy mill puppies to unsuspecting consumers in numerous states. Petland is one of the nation's largest chains of pet stores that sells dogs from puppy mills, and they are advertising that or sort of claiming that the dogs are from high quality breeders and that the dogs are healthy, when in fact they're getting their dogs from puppy mills or puppy brokers, which is like a middle person between the actual store and the puppy mills. And here's a quote that I'm going to read from Jonathan Lavorne, who's the vice president and chief counsel for animal protection litigation at the Humane Society of the United States. And the quote says, "Unscrupulous dog dealers like Petland and Hunt reap massive profits by pushing unhealthy puppies on well-intentioned dog lovers who would never knowingly buy a puppy mill dog. Families often bear the great expense of veterinary treatment for sick and unhealthy dogs or the terrible anguish of losing a beloved family pet. This industry has been systematically lying to consumers for years about the source of the dogs they sell, and it's long past time for reckoning." And again, just to reiterate, do not buy a dog from a pet store, no matter what. You may think that you're rescuing a puppy, but you're actually sentencing that puppy's parents to essentially life in jail. So with that, we'll hope to have you with us next week, Wednesday, 2 to 3 p.m. This is the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Views.